Okay, we are studying the power of rest. Amen. I'm just not talking about taking a nap. I'm not talking about taking a vacation. I'm talking about something that happens on the inside of you. I'm talking about the rest that Adam and Eve lost because of their disobedience that God has restored in Christ Jesus. So there you go. I've already given you the heart of the matter right there, okay? The heart of the matter. Now don't you check out on me the rest of the day because I've already given you the climax, okay? In Christ Jesus, everything that Adam and Eve lost has been restored. I'm talking to you about the rest of God. I'm going to talk to you about the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not a day. You know that the Sabbath was made for man. The man wasn't made for Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. On the sixth day, God created man. On the seventh day, he did what? He rested. He created man on the sixth day, and then he gave man rest. And then he gave rest. Adam and Eve lost that rest when they disobeyed God. Okay? So I'm not talking about the lack of work. I'm talking about doing what you love and loving what you do. Okay now. Even when you do what you love and love what you do, there's going to be days that are going to take more grace. You understand that?
Yes.
There's going to be days that are going to be a little bit harder. Okay? But love what you do in life and do what you love. It's a gift. You know how you know you're in your gift? You know how you know you keep on going back to it? No matter how. I'm using my husband as a testimony now. If he gets upset with me, we'll have to tell me about it later. But hallelujah, not now. But he's tried to do something else besides broadcasting, but always goes back to it. You have to do what your gifting is. You have to do what your gifting is. No matter where you go, your gift will make room for you. It will make room for you. And the Word of God says it'll bring you before kings. It'll bring you before leadership. Leadership will take notice of your giftings. When you do what's in your gifting, that's how I know that it's not just work. You're in your gift. You love what you do. And even though you have hard days doing it, you're still at rest doing it, and you end up going right back to it. You can't get away from it. Does this bear witness with anybody in this room? You know, another way you can tell you're in your gifting, that it's not just work, what do people say about you when you're in your gifting? Now, the Lord gave this to me this week. You know, you ask Him questions, He will answer you. Lord, I need to understand. I need to really understand what I'm teaching. That would be a good idea, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
What do other people say about you when they see you in your gifting? I'm so glad you're here. I couldn't have done this without you. Oh, your work is just excellence. Cannot anybody do this like you? We've chosen you to do this job because... Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's how you know you're in your gifting. What do people say about you when you are in your gifting? When you are using your gifting?
Sometimes you see your face lights up.
Yes.
When you're in your gifting. Oh, your face lights up. Or,
yes.
My neighbor said to me this week that... Of course people would do that for you because you do that for others, but they see that about you. You're so kind. So they say positive things and good things.
And you know, mercy is a gift. When you're kind to others, mercy is a gift. So I'm talking about working out of your rest, y'all. Okay, let's get started. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're the teacher. Guide us into all truth, Father, today. Holy Spirit, open our ears. Help us to hear. Give us a revelation today in the name of Jesus. Today you are, as I know we've had some teaching where before we've asked you just not to interject. But if you have anything to interject today, raise your hand. I'm going to come to you, okay? Glory to God. Okay, this is a year of Chi in the Hebrew, right? And I believe the new Hebrew year started again, but I'm still on life this year. I am, that's okay. I'm still living on life today. Did you have something, Jack? Okay. Well, we'll get to that. But anyway, I'm still living in life. Glory to God, in the life of Christ. So this is about life and the power of rest, okay? And this is deal with finances. In a way, it does deal with finances because you can't have, this is just a little bit of review, you can't have a peaceful life if you're struggling to pay your bills. Hello. You can't even dream if you can't even pay your bills. You can't even dream about tomorrow or something brand or something new if you're struggling. But God does not want us overwhelmed like that. God does not want us overwhelmed like that. He says life is more than food and clothing. He'll take care of that. To consider the lilies, to seek forth His, to seek His righteousness and His kingdom, and all these things will be added to us. So we're trying to find out how to live in kingdom dominion. Amen. That's what this is about, okay? Amen. You know, you'll be miserable. You will be miserable if you're born again and come into the kingdom of God and you're trying to operate your life like the kingdom of the world. Wow. You will be miserable. That's why people that are in the world, you look at them and they're like, you've ever heard anyone say this? Have you ever thought this? God, why are the wicked prospering? Well, they're in their own kingdom and they're operating according to their kingdom. You, when you've been brought into the kingdom of God, of His dear Son, you can't operate like the world. You have to operate in the principles of the kingdom. How do I know the principles of the kingdom? I'm so glad you asked. I know the principles of the kingdom when I read the decrees, when I read the laws and the decrees of the kingdom in His Word. That's how I know the principles of the kingdom, and I operate them in them, right? The kingdom is the King's dominion. And who has given us dominion? Jesus. Jesus has given us dominion. Amen. And He has given us, the Father has given Him a name above every name, right? That in the name of Jesus, every knee would bow, every tongue would confess that He is Lord to the glory and honor of the Father, right? Okay. And who did He give that right to use that authority to? To you. To me. To us, if you're in the kingdom of God. Okay. So this is just review. So I'm not gonna stay long on this. I'm going to mention just a few things, but it is on our webpage. You can look it up there. We already studied this in depth the last time we were together. Luke 5:5, when Jesus wanted to get in Peter's boat, the crowd was pressing Him. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to paraphrase this for you. Then we're moving on, okay? We're really going to be in the book of Hebrews today, okay? But Luke 5:5, starting in that beginning of that chapter, Jesus wanted to use Peter's boat. So He gets into Peter's boat and He preaches, right? To get away from the people. They were pressing into Him, right? So He gets in the boat to preach. When He stops preaching, He gets out of the boat and says, Peter, launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep and catch some fish. And Peter says, Lord, Peter begins to rehearse his problem. Lord, we have fished all night and we have caught nothing. But nevertheless, at Your word, yes, I will do it. At Your word. See, that's the difference between a man's kingdom and God's kingdom. That's the difference between operating the kingdom of the world and operating the kingdom of God. If you don't get the strategy, I wish we really, you know, one of the things that would give us more success in life, if we would spend more time in meditation before God, before we act. Now that's good preaching, Holy Ghost, and I'm going to say that again. If we would spend more time in prayer and meditation before God, before we make a decision, before we act, we would have a lot more peace and a lot more success in our life. Okay. Peter's mentality was, first of all, he rehearsed his problem. Lord, I've fished all night. But nevertheless, and so God says, launch out into the deep. I'm going to take you somewhere, Peter, you've never been before. I'm going to take you somewhere deeper than you've ever been before. Be open to God to take you places and do things in your life that He's never done in your life before. Be open to God to do new things and take you new places in your life that He's never taken you before. To come into the kingdom of God and operate in the kingdom of God, you cannot repeatedly rehearse your failures. You cannot do that. If we repeatedly rehearse our failures, we're going to stay right there in that place. But Peter launched out into the deep and he caught the fish, and caught so much fish that he had to call James and John over with their boat to haul in the mess. See, that's what it means to live in the kingdom of God. It means to wait and hear for His instruction. Wait and hear God's instruction and then act and then move. But thank God for mercy. Thank God for mercy. thank God for mercy. That Peter was willing to act and do things God's way. Okay, this is review. Let's keep on going. There's two systems. There's the toil all night system, or there's God's way. Which one do we want to do? We want to do God's way. Okay, now let's go to Genesis a little bit. You don't have to turn there. But Genesis, where is it? Genesis 3:17-19. Adam cursed the earth. God said, the earth is cursed because of you, Adam. Because he disobeyed God. He listened to his wife over listening to God. Okay? And from that point on, there came into the world, there came into the world at that point, toil, painful toil and sweat, which is a curse system. Do you know that we're not supposed to work under painful toil and sweat? Did you know we're not supposed to live under painful toil and sweat? Did you know that's a curse?
Yes.
That's a curse. Now, some of that could be that sometimes we're not in our gifting. We're trying to do something we're not called to do. We want to be something that God hasn't called us to do, so it doesn't. We're not in our gift. And some of it is that the enemy tries to fight us in our gift, and we press in and we stay right where we are. But there is always blessing, and that when you're in your gift, there is always blessing and relief when you're in your gift. Amen. There's always blessing. There's hard days. Yes. But like I said before, you keep on going back to it because it's in you. There's nothing else. You can't do anything else. It's your gifting. It's what God's putting you to do. Okay? We were never meant to do anything through painful toil and sweat. We were meant to do everything in the rest of God. Now, you know, it's not just a teaching. The Lord needs to show us this. We need to experience this personally. We need to experience this personally in our lives. After Adam disobeyed God and the curse came on the earth, then Adam lost his identity. He lost his identity. His identity became in what he could do and not who he was. If I ask you, who are you? When you get along quiet, who are you? You're not what you do. Your identity is not in what you do. Your identity is in who you belong to. So Adam had to work by the sweat of his brow and toil all the time to find, get back in that place that God had taken, because he disobeyed God, the earth was cursed. And he lost that place or that position. Here's an interesting thought for you. Still review, and then we're fixing to get into the day's lesson. The prodigal son. The prodigal son had lost his identity, who he was. Remember when he was in the pigsty? And he wanted to eat the pig slop? What was the first thing he said? He lost his identity. He lost who he was. He said, in my father's house, there are servants, and they have food.
Yes.
All of a sudden, he went back to that servant mentality. He forgot he was a son. Is that the truth?
Yes.
He said, I'm going to return to my father's house and I'm going to say, Father, I'm not worthy. Who said you weren't worthy?
Mm-hmm.
Who took you from sonship?
Yes.
When we get into places where we're not meant to get into because we don't listen to the voice of God and we make decisions, we'll get into that mentality that, God, I'm not worthy.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm not worthy to even be called his son. I'll go back to my father and I'll say, make me a servant in your house. But thank God, what did the father do? The father met him with a robe and a ring. So see, he went back to that painful toil and sweat mentality. Oh, I'm about ready to preach. If we would grab a hold of the mercy of God that is new every day, you don't have to work yourself back up into the favor of God.
Amen.
When we make a mistake and fall, Lord, I thank you for your blood.
Yes.
I ask for your mercy. I ask you to forgive me. You don't have to work your way back up.
No.
You don't have to do good deeds to get back in right standing with God. See, that was the painful toil and sweat mentality. We're born with it.
Yes.
Come on now.
Yes.
If you work hard, you're going to succeed. No, if you succeed, it's because of the blessing of God on your life. It's not because of what you did.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, you can't lay in bed all day and expect to get a check or a direct deposit into your account if you don't work.
Amen.
But it's not by your work and by your effort. It's by the blessing of God on your life that God has favored you.
Mm-hmm.
But this prodigal son went back to the slave mentality. Yeah, he no longer saw himself as a... I got to go back as a servant. I see, this is fresh bread. The Lord revealed this to me this morning. Maybe you already knew it. Good for you. But I got to start on the bottom. I got to start down here on the bottom. I'm really my father's son. I'm my father's daughter. He's my Abba. But I goofed up and made a mistake. So I got to start down here. See, that's false humility. Which is just as bad as pride.
Mm-hmm.
False
yes.
humility is just as bad as pride. It is. I've got to start down here. I made him say, I've got to start down here. Work my way. No, you don't. You're already back up here.
Mm-hmm.
You're already the son. You already got the ring on your finger, daughter. I mean, a beautiful diamond, a beautiful ruby. Oh, a diamond surrounded by rubies. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You got the ring on your finger and a beautiful gown, girls. Guys, whatever you want. I don't want a robe. I want a beautiful flowing gown with the train. I am my father's beloved. You need to say that. I am my father's beloved. I am my father's favorite. You know, I can be God's favorite and you can be God's favorite. He's got enough of favor to go around.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Amen.
So we want to get out of that. I got to work. I got to make this happen. I got to do this. No, you don't. You just got to keep your life open to hear God.
Yes.
How do I keep my life open to hear God? I'm so glad you asked. I do that by being in His Word. This
yes.
is supernatural power in my life. You know, if you get into the Word of God and you don't even know what your giftings are, the Word of God has supernatural power. It will reveal your giftings. The Word of God is spirit and life. If you put it inside of you, you might not even know what the rest of you... Okay. I know the point. I'm getting all ahead of myself, and it's okay. The Lord's going to put it all together. He's going to make it all flow. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord.
Yes, yes, yes.
To prosper you, not to
yes.
harm you. To give you hope in your final outcome. Well, that's good. God, you know the plans you have for me. That's good. But you know what that scripture really means? When you break it down, God says, I know how to make you know what I know about
yes.
you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on now. Somebody, y'all didn't get excited about that.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit, I need to say that again. That breaks down that I know how to make you know what I know about you. Okay, now, I'm all over the place. Glory to God. Look at just the trek of this church. And before we go there, I want to encourage you this week to sit down with the Lord and write out a timetable of your life. Write out a timetable of your life, what God has brought you through, what God has done for you.
Mm.
The path that God has led you on, that has led you to today.
Mm.
I think Robert and Carmen are probably, I'm not going to use the word oldest, but I'm going to call them old. They have been with this fellowship probably the longest. When it was Gihon. Was it Gihon? Okay. And you know, I know it started out before that in someone's house, and I don't think it even had a name then, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. They just wanted to start a fellowship. I'm not sure. Maybe it did. Then Gihon, then Northeast Christian Assembly, then Rivers of Life International Worship Center, and now Rivers International Worship Center. Did you ever think, I want you to go back to your timeline with this church. I want you to do two things this week. I want you to go back to your personal timeline, and I want you to go back to your timeline with this church. Did you ever think the day you walked into the building of this fellowship that you would be here today?
Mm-hmm.
look at what God brought you through to bring you here. I know how to make you know what I know. Did you ever think we would be? I never did. We talked about going to house churches, meeting here and there. The Lord put in Anna's heart, because we had the first meeting here. Do you remember that? And she put it in her heart, why can't we just come here together and be here together? Then I asked my parents, and they said yes. See why it's so important that we listen to one another? That we have an open mind about what God is saying through one another, through us? Did you ever, never. See, God has a purpose for all of us, and we're going to get into that when we get into the, and it's our blessing, it's part of our blessing. That you might know Christ. That you might really know Christ. That you might have the good life. Live a good life. That's God's, you can say plan, purpose, whatever, however you want to say it, destiny, whatever. Ultimately, it's that you know Christ, but all of us have different paths to get there. Your path is not like my path to get there. And my path is not like your path. But you know what? If we stay together and stay unified in Christ, the body of Christ, I'm just not talking about the people in this room. I'm talking about the body of Christ as a whole, y'all, okay? All of us, if we stay unified with God, then we're going to all end up in the same place. Is that right? All paths lead. Yes. In Christ Jesus. I want to make sure I make that real clear. Not all paths lead to God. There is one God. When you say, yeah, make sure I make that real clear. I am not saying that all paths lead to God. The path of Buddha does not lead to God. The path of Muhammad does not lead to God. You know how I know? Who you call your God, by his name, represents all his attributes and character. When I say the name of John, you don't see my picture come up flash through your mind. I hope you don't. And when you say call my name, you don't see my husband's face pop up. You see mine, right? Okay. So who you call your God is how you define him, how you see his attributes and his character. All paths do not lead to God. Jesus Christ is the only path that leads to God. Okay, let's keep on going. That was that was just to catch you up, okay? That was just to catch you up. So let's turn to, God is not meant for us to live a life of painful toil and sweat. I'm not saying we don't have days when we work hard. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying that there's a joy in what we do. There is a joy in what we do. Amen?
Yes.
There's a joy and a desire well accomplished. And there's an anointing on our life and a gifting to do it. Okay, turn to Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to start there. We're talking about this rest. Now, that was just a setup. I told you that Carmen had connected me with the teaching by Gary Cassie. Mm-hmm. I got it right. Hallelujah. And but I've added to it. I thank God for that teaching. I'm going to say that on the recorder. I'm going to say that every time I teach, because I've gotten some notes from him. But God has taught me from it. It's been a springboard for me to go other places, okay? You can listen to his teaching. It's very good. I'm not Gary. I don't proclaim to be. And you'll learn things from him that you won't learn from me. And you'll learn things from me that you won't learn from him. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you about the realm of faith, faith's rest. Did you know faith has a rest? Faith will give you rest. Faith is the opposite of fear and worry. We all know that, right? But you know, faith is the opposite of unbelief. You know, unbelief will put you in distress.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Unbelief will put you in distress. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to talk today about the faith hyphen rest life. The faith rest life. And I don't mind telling you, I got this from the Passion Translation when I saw it. Oh my goodness. My heart just jumped inside of me. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 11, starting at verse 28, he said, Take my yoke. Come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Sabbath is not about rules and regulations. The Sabbath is not about you can't work a job on the Sabbath. Hello? Selah. I know some people that have more stress and they don't do any labor or work a job on Sunday than those that work a job on Sunday that have more rest and peace. The Sabbath is inside of you. The rest is in you. It's in your soul. Do we understand that? It's in the person of the Lord Jesus. Sabbath has a name. Rest has a name. Do you know what his name is? It's Jesus. Jesus is our rest. He said, come to me, you that are heavy laden, loaded down with care, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, by the time that Jesus came, there were over 6,000 rules and regulations that the Hebrew teachers had added to the law. 6,000. Do you know that if your hen laid an egg on the Sabbath, that you broke the commandment? That hen belonged to you and you broke the commandment because your hen worked on the Sabbath. Not like you can stop that. Do you know if you carried anything in your pocket that was lighter than a feather on the Sabbath, then you worked? No wonder Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You put loads and burdens on the people, and you don't even lift one finger to help them. You won't even lift one finger. You put a burden on them, and no wonder they received Jesus' teaching with great joy. Come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden." I would say so, because all those 6,000 rules and regulations were laying right here. Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Glory to God. Okay, Hebrews chapter 3. Let's get in the back.
To this day, they still carry nothing into the synagogue. They bring nothing.
So what happens if you go into labor on the Sabbath?
That was just a thought.
Carolyn.
That was a picture
of
Holy Spirit.
Yeah, okay, I'm not repeating because I'm close to the recorder. Maybe he can hear. I know, Carolyn, that was cute.
I wanted to interject at the beginning something that is very important that Gary Cassis says that is very important. The reason that God created the Sabbath is because without God's glory, because it's been removed, Adam and Eve would have kept on and on and on and on and on and on and wouldn't have stopped.
Wow.
That was the main reason that Sabbath is for the man, so that they would stop. Because they would have just kept on and on and on with toiling and working and would have just fizzled out.
Yeah, would have had a reprieve to stop and reflect.
Yes,
right?
They had to stop so that they could rest.
Wow, good point.
I know people like
good
that.
Point.
And so, it was like that. 7 days.
I mean, nowadays we would call that, you know, a workaholic.
Yes.
But they would have, because of not having the glory and the presence of God on them, literally on them, they would have just worked themselves into such a frenzy and a toiling. That's important.
It is, but I also want to point too that I know there are times we work for people that put demands and stuff, and we have to work long hours. That is not about this. That's not about condemning you about that. That's out of your control. You don't have any, but even in that, we can pray that God's anointing will give you rest in doing it. And God will bring you rest from it. Do you understand that?
It's not about that.
I know it's not.
It's about that they would have kept on and not stopped.
That's right. That's right.
They wouldn't have known to.
That's right. That's a good. That's
they
a good,
wouldn't have known
That's why
to.
God gave them the Sabbath.
Yes. That's why it was made for man. Adam wouldn't have known, I gotta stop.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
he would have kept on. That's why it was made for man.
And
so
still,
he would stop.
And still what we have to deal with is the mental mindset, though, too. It's a difference, and I'm going to get to you, sis. It's a difference between you're required to do it because you work for this employer and he requires you to do it. We pray for the anointing and the grace of God to do it. I understand that. It's a difference between that and the mindset, I got to do more. I got to get more. I got to attain more. I got to do it. Yeah. I got to work three jobs. I want to live in this neighborhood. I want to drive this kind of car. I got to work three jobs. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's the difference. It's the what motivates you, what drives you.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, sis.
Well, I'm reading this book by Brady Boyd called Addicted to Busy.
Addicted to Busy.
Addicted to Busy. And that's what he's talking about. The rest that this body needs, because we want to do more in his life, more, you know. And if you're good at something, people are going to ask you to do something else, and then you're going to do something else, and before you know it, all your time is taken up. Never mind your family. I mean, it's not that you mean to ignore your family, but you know, you got to go to this meeting, you got to go here, you got to do this, you got to do this for the church, and then because you were so good, they ask you to do this over here, and you feel like you can't say no. And you just keep going and going. But the Sabbath was also made to rest this body.
That's right.
Because the wear and tear that you put on this body by going and going and going and never taking the time to really let this body, you know, it's a physical thing too. Thank God, you know, the spiritual part, but it's the physical part. What kind of work? Not work because you had to work, but that you just doing this. I got to keep going. I'm going to drink my 10th cup of coffee today because I got to stay up and I got to get it done. And it's okay. And you know, some people have this mindset. It's okay if I get 4 hours of sleep a night. I got to get it done. It just won't get done. And God wants us to slow down.
Yes.
There's nothing like just slowing down, like you said, meditating, maybe getting alone with nature. Because you feel so much closer to God, it seems like, when you're in nature and you realize the beauty of the birds singing and the trees swaying and the water rippling. We need that Sabbath, that time with Him.
You know, I'm so glad you said this, because it opens up something else that's really helped me a lot and meant a lot to me in my life. You know, Apostle Paul said, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. It might be a good idea. It might not be against God's law to do it, but it's not expedient for you to do it. It's not to your benefit to do it. And that reminds me of a book your mom gave me, which is one of my favorite books I've ever... It is my favorite book. My first women's seminar, I preached from that, some things from that book. But anyway, and this is Laura. Laura loves this story. Laura loves this story. There's this woman in this story. There's woman or man, what this individual, and the Lord says, "I'll call him by name. Let's just put me there, Kathy. I want you to do this for me today. I want you to take this tiny little thing. This is just an analogy. Here's a wheelbarrow, and I want you to take this tiny little rock, and I want you to take it up the mountain. Yes, Lord, I can do that. I'll do that, Lord. I would love to do that for you." Kathy starts out with a wheelbarrow. Here's somebody else that's got a burden. "Oh, I see you're going up the mountain. Would you take this rock from me?" "Sure, I got room in my barrel for this rock. Come on, put it in this wheelbarrow." Kathy keeps on going, and she picks up this one, and she picks up that one, and she picks up this one, and she picks up that one, and she gets weary. She started out in joy. It was a joy to do it. "Lord, yes, Lord, it's a joy to do this for you." But then she got weary, and she couldn't make it up the mountain. She began, oh, no, she wouldn't. Oh, yes, she did. She began to grumble. She began to complain. Yes, she did. She even wanted to say, "God, why did you put this burden on me, God?" God said, "Child, I didn't put that burden on you. See that boulder there? I didn't tell you to carry that one, take it out. I didn't tell you to take that one, take it out. I didn't tell you to take that one, take it out." Then all these burdens are lifted out of this wheelbarrow, and there's the one thing God just asked for her to do for that day, and she makes it up the mountain.
Wow. Praise God.
Laura loves that. Laura loves that analogy. If the Lord help me, I'll bring that book next week. It's called Having a Mary's Heart in a Martha World. And the last name of that person is Weaver. You see what the anointing does? I had no intent whatsoever I was going to share that today. That's what the God knows what we need when we come into this house. The Lord knows. And when we make the decision to come together in unity and to love one another and to learn from one another, it's just amazing what God will do. It's amazing. I'm so glad you shared that, because then that caused that springboard of that. There's some things God, it might be lawful, but it's not expedient. God didn't ask you to do it. Yes, ma'am.
This week I was talking to the Lord and I was asking him about stewardship. And he said, stewardship is the one thing that I gave you to do. If you do it and do it with integrity, that you've done what I asked you to do. But that's stewardship. Stewardship is what's over your mind, what's over your heart. It's just not certain things.
Not doing stuff, but your mentality, your thought,
your heart. That one thing that he asked me to do is be obedient. That's stewardship.
That's right. That's right. That's being a good steward, a faithful steward.
Tell the story about the card.
Okay.
Excuse me, y'all. This week, I had a neighbor that they had lost someone, they died. And I passed and I was like, And I went on in the house, came back out the next day, there's the wreath, you know? I was like, So as I'm going down Main Street on Thursday, Holy Spirit was talking to me and he said, you know, being mourning with somebody else this morning don't mean just people that you know. Because I didn't put a specific name in that. And I was like, okay. He said, now what I want you to do is go buy a card, put something in it, and give it to me. I said, I don't know them people. Now I'm going down North Main and I'm just talking to the Holy Spirit and laughing at the same time. He said, that ain't what I asked you. He said, do what I tell you to do. I said, okay, Holy Spirit. And I did it. But I was complaining. And I told Shirley, so we're going down North Main. I was just talking to the Lord and I was laughing at the same time. And I said, I know people looking at me like, is that lady crazy in that car? But this is what he was telling me. And stewardship is not what you do. It's what you do for the Lord and being obedient. And that's what he shared with me. And I told Shirley, I said, Shirley, I went and got that card and I put something in it and I took it to him. Like, you don't have to know the
that's
people.
Right. There
the
you
more
go.
With them. The
that's
more
right.
With them.
Is he your neighbor?
Yeah.
And what, don't credit? What credit do you get from God when you do those? Do to people that you know are going to do back to you.
Yeah. And
that
Holy
you
Spirit
give
kept
to them.
Sharing
what credit,
with me.
He no said, credit with God. Enough.
How do you know that when you go and do that, that that person might not turn to the Lord? This is what he was sharing with me as I'm going down Main Street.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And this person lived in your neighborhood?
Next door to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know him that well, but, you know, just to say hello and go
that's
about
right.
my business.
That's right. We're all guilty of that.
And but, honey, I had me a good time.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that you listened, Carolyn.
Yes.
Praise
and
the Lord.
And that's what that obedience and stewardship is, what you're doing with that stewardship.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just even down to being a bookkeeper. Stewardship.
It's the one thing God asks you to do. Do it well.
Yeah.
The one thing God asks you to do. Do it well.
Okay.
Sir? Yeah.
What you're talking about, you know, the rest and everybody, is that the rest that you're talking about is that you do not, if you believe what Romans says, where it says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, then you don't need any more works as far as getting God's acceptance. And that's
right.
What some people do. They try to work to get his acceptance. And if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you don't need to do no more work to get his acceptance.
No.
Because you will believe in what he says, that, you know, God raised Jesus Christ from the
dead. That's right.
So you don't need it, and sometimes that's what people try to do. Like, I don't have to go out and do anything. Now, I'm not saying I'm not, but I'm saying, if you look at it in the right perspective, you don't have to go out and do anything if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. But you don't need no more works to be accepted by God.
That's right.
Okay. But you also got to look at the point where he says, faith without works is dead.
Okay.
So if you believe and you and God's accepted you, okay, and you confess, then you don't need to do the works, but you do them because you love God.
That's right. You don't
so
do them out of obligation.
You've got his acceptance. You do them because you love God, because you accept him.
That's right.
So if you don't accept him, you're not going to do anything anyway. Not for God.
No. You're not doing it for God.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah, that's where he talks about the rest. The rest that you need is the rest that you need, knowing that you don't need to do anything.
Not
because God's accepted you.
That's right.
You know, if you believe here in your heart, and you believe here and confess
with your mouth,
God knows whether you're lying or not.
Amen.
If you're lying, you're only lying to yourself.
That's
because
right.
It ain't going to do you no good.
That's right.
So that's why I think the rest is where he's talking about. The rest comes.
Yeah, that's a good point. You don't do it out of obligation. I thought of something you just said in there too that leads me to something else, because the work is finished. Christ already did it. Isn't that what he said on the cross? It is finished. It is finished. And that's what God said in Genesis. He looked at his work and he said, it's what? It's good. He said, my work is good. And he stopped his work and he rested. God set the example for man. So that's what Christ said. It is finished. We might not get to Hebrews today. What time is it? What time is it anyway?
I just asking a question and I going to say something. How we know when we please is God?
You have that witness. To me, you have that witness inside, the witness of the Holy Spirit.
All right.
Inside of you.
All right. And then the prodigal son, he never listened to his father. He just believed, say he grow big and he want to go.
Mm-hmm.
How many times we believe we reach a place where we don't listening to the Holy Spirit, and we believe that, well, I can do this, I can go there and I can get people and I can do this, and the Lord never asked us to do anything to please him. God, he asked us to do it to save our soul. When Jesus made the hurt, he could take one day and just whisk up everything in one, but he do it, he made, and everyone that he did, he said, it is good.
Amen.
Everything that he done, he stopped and he said, this is good. And then God called us, and we has to do what the Lord says. But many a time, we go on our own. And when we go on our own, then we drop into a hole that we have to sit there and call in the Lord. And I believe with my funny self, the Lord just looking at us and said, I never send you in there. And then after a while, he just answer you. For go back to Paul. Paul had a question and Paul couldn't get through it. He couldn't move from it. So he keep going back to the Lord. So the Lord take him to the highest of the highest heaven. And he said, he hear voices, he hear language that he cannot speak.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord bring him back to earth and said, my grace is sufficient for you. God's grace. At the end of the day, don't care how you bad you think you do, while you do it pleasing God, it's sufficient for us.
Amen.
That's what I believe.
Amen.
Don't care how lousy you think you do, and you do it when in the realm of God, what
that's
he said to do,
uh-huh.
It's pleasing to God.
Amen. So you have to compare yourself to what someone else does.
Yes.
You know, God says God says you're justified by faith, not by works.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you don't need to work yourself to Christ. He's already died.
That's
what,
and that's a good thing we as believers need to learn, really. And the, another thing we do as well, too, is not to compare ourselves to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Not to compare.
There you go.
Now, let's get into Hebrews. I think we can at least read it, and then you can meditate on it. I think we've got enough time to do that. I'm not going to keep you here much longer, okay? I promise. Go to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 16, because in this, from here, I'm going to springboard to your blessing for the week, okay? Because your blessing actually comes out of Philippians, if you want to go ahead and write that down. Philippians chapter 9. No, I'm sorry. That's wrong. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, 12 through 16 is where your blessing is going to come. Okay? Out of it. Go to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, we're going to start. Actually, let's go to 7. Go to 7. Hebrews 3, verse 7. I had a funny for you. Those of you who caught that when I said Philippians 9, there's not 9 chapters in Philippians. It's 3. And I corrected myself. It's 3. For you Bible scholars here, there's not 3. Okay. Okay, now. Amen. Amen. Okay. So here we go. Hebrews chapter 3. Let's read through this. Let's read through this. And then we'll let the Lord open us up and show us. God's word is really self. It will teach us, okay? Okay. This is why Holy Spirit says, if only you would listen to His voice this day, don't make Him angry by hardening your hearts. Like your ancestors did during the days of their rebellion, when they were tested in the wilderness. There your fathers tested me and tried my patience, even though they saw my miracles for 40 years. They still doubted me. Even though they saw my miracles for 40 years, they still doubted me. You talk about hearing and hearing instruction from God. You know, I think about the manna. The manna. God said on the sixth day you go out and you collect double amount of manna, right? Because on the seventh day there's not going to be any manna. Okay? Those that weren't listening, who were already wandering in their heart, they're wandering away from God in their heart. We're going to get to that. They were wandering away from their heart. If you're wandering away from God in your heart, your feet are going to start to wander. Okay, Selah. People that have wandering feet and end up in places they shouldn't be, their heart's already started to wander. Okay? So on the seventh day, those people that wandered and didn't trust God, didn't believe and went out, what do they find? No manna. And then what about those guys that only take what you need for that day and went out and then they took enough for 2 days because they were fearful and doubted God. Then what happened to the rest of their manna? It rotted. It got maggots in it, the word of God says. Okay, let's keep on going. Verse 9, there your fathers tested me and tried my patience, and even though they saw my miracles for 40 years, they still doubted me. This ignited my anger with that generation. Doubt. To doubt God ignites His anger, y'all. Amen. Are you getting that? And I said about them, and God said, this is what I said. God said, this is what I'm telling you what I said about them. God says, I'm going to tell you what I say about people that doubt me. Okay? I said about them, they wandered in their hearts just like they do with their feet. They wander in their hearts just like the hearts. That's why we have to keep our mind. Yes. Don't let your mind wander all over the place. Well, what if God doesn't? What if God doesn't? That's not for me. God can't do that for me. That's not mine. That's somebody else. You know, sometimes we cancel out the blessing of God with our mouth. Right. Don't cancel out the blessing of God. Don't sell yourself short. The enemy's already selling you short. You don't need to be selling yourself short. Okay? And I said about them, they wandered in their hearts just like they do with their feet. And they refused to learn my ways. See there? That's what I'm talking about. Learning the ways of God. Being in the kingdom. Being in the kingdom is learning the ways of God. God said, given it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall I cause men to give unto you. You need love, show love. You need kindness, show kindness. You need mercy, show mercy. Amen. What you sow is what you reap. If you reap to the Spirit, you're going to, if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap to the Spirit. My heart grieved over them. God said, my heart grieved over them, so I decreed. So God made a decree. God made a decree. They will never enter into the calming rest of my Spirit. Y'all? Jesus. That's why they were so unhappy and rebellious against God. It worked together. Rebellion, disobedience to God steals your peace. Obedience to God brings you peace. They will never, that's why they couldn't hear God. That's why they wouldn't hear God when he said, don't take extra for the fifth day, just take what you need for the fourth day. And on the sixth day, take extra because they won't be there on the seventh. Their heart was already wandering from God. So their feet followed what their heart felt. They will never enter into my calming rest of my spirit. So search your hearts every day. This is for us. So search your hearts every day, my brothers and sisters, and make sure that none of you has an evil or unbelief hiding within you. Do you notice how he's saying here, not just evil, but unbelief? Search your heart and make sure there's not any doubt in your heart about God. About God. Okay? Hiding within you, he says. For it will lead you astray and make you unresponsive to the living God. If we have evil unbelief in our heart, God will speak. God will speak and we'll be unresponsive. We're like, I didn't hear that. Sitting in the same room and God speaks. That's why a prophetic word can go out and someone will receive it. It'll go straight into them, and they'll receive it. They'll be, and others are like, you know, what just happened? What just happened? I don't get it. For it will lead you astray. What will lead you astray? Having evil in our heart or unbelief hiding within us. For it will lead you astray and make you unresponsive to the living God. And if you're struggling with your faith, God, be like the man that said, Lord, help my unbelief. I want to believe. Lord, help me. Lord, you see, God wants to answer our prayer so it builds up our faith. Hallelujah. Faith is like an exercise. You have to exercise it. So exercise your faith for something. We're asking God for something. Exercise your faith for asking God for something. And when God does that for you, it builds up your faith. Mm-hmm. Your trust in God.
Yes.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Elijah was a man of light passion like us. He prayed and it didn't rain for 3 years. 3 years God shut up the heaven.
Yes.
For 3 years, y'all. Mm-hmm. He's a man, a fervent, heartfelt prayer of the righteous avails much and has much power with God. Then he prayed again. Mm-hmm. He just prayed one prayer out of his mouth. And he outran the chariots back to town. Ahab and the chariots.
Yes.
Back to town. And he said to his servant, look up. I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. Mm-hmm. Robert?
Just real quick. You just draw a scripture in my mind where it says, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
That's right. Those that wait upon him. Amen. Shall renew their strength. Okay, let's keep on going. So search your hearts every day, my brothers and sisters, and make sure that none of you has an evil or unbelief hiding in your heart. Y'all, he's talking about unbelief too. We never want to put evil hiding in our heart, right? But what about unbelief? For it will lead you astray and make you unresponsive to the living God. You get that? Unbelief will make you, well, you will not even respond to the word of God when God speaks. We have got to drive unbelief out of our life.
Yes.
This is a time to encourage each other to never be stubborn or hardened by sin's deceitfulness. That's why we come together, to encourage one another. Okay? For we are mingled with the Messiah. Now, I like this Bible for a lot of reasons because it's a study Bible also. So I go down here to this footnote where it says, we are mingled with the Messiah. And it says here, let me find the right footnote. Okay, here we go. The footnote says, we are all got business partners with Christ.
Yeah.
Okay, what does that mean? Didn't Jesus say, I have come to do the work of my Father? Yes. Did he say that? Mm-hmm. That's the only work God wants us to do, is the work of the Father.
Yes.
The work of the Father. I'm a business partner with Jesus.
Yes.
I can't pick up that burden because it's not in my business agreement with Jesus today. That's yours. But I'll pray that God will help you. Amen? Isn't this good? The Aramaic, this goes back to the Aramaic. You know, Jesus spoke Aramaic. Did you know that?
Yes.
Aramaic was a common language in Jesus' day. Not Greek, not even Hebrew. Aramaic was spoke more than any other language in Jesus' day. So this goes back to the Aramaic. The Aramaic can be translated, we are joined. Okay, let me go back. I got excited. The Aramaic can be translated, we are sewn together with Christ. I am mingled with Jesus.
Yes.
I am sewn together with Jesus. I'm sewn together with Him.
Yes.
You are sewn together or mingled with the Messiah if you continue unshaken in this confident assurance. If you continue unshaken, what confidence assurance is he talking about? Let's go down the footnote. If you are confident that you are joined to Christ, if you are confident, it can be translated, we are joined, leavened in the resurrection through Him. You know what leaven does, don't you? It causes something to rise up and get big. Okay? You've been joined together in the leaven or the resurrection of Christ. Yes, when He died, you died with Him. You died to sin. When Christ died to sin, you died to sin. It's no longer you that lives, but Christ that lives in you. Sin is no longer your master. You are the master over sin. Sin no longer has dominion over you. It cannot dwell in your mortal body because it did not dwell in His mortal body. Do you understand that? I have been buried with Christ and I have been crucified with Christ. Y'all, it's a process. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been buried with Christ. And I have been raised with Christ in newness of life. I am joined in His resurrection. I am enjoined in His resurrection. Y'all, this is deep. From the beginning until the end. For again, the scriptures say, if only today you will listen to His voice. Forget about tomorrow. Yeah, or even yesterday. Forget about tomorrow or even yesterday. Today, if you will hear His voice. Today, right now. If you will hear His voice, don't make Him angry by hardening your hearts. As you did in the wilderness rebellion. Well, he's talking to the Hebrew people here, but he's talking to us too. The same people who were delivered from bondage and brought out of Egypt by Moses were the ones who heard and still rebelled. Make a timeline of your life. Sit down and make, you might have to do it in your mind first. I know some people, they're so organized in their mind that they can organize stuff in their mind that some people struggle to write down. I mean, it's just a gifting. But do something to timeline your life and what God has brought you through. Okay? And this ought to build up your faith. Okay? But look, for them, it didn't build up their faith. The same people who were delivered from bondage and brought out of Egypt by Moses were the ones who heard and still rebelled. They grieved God for 40 years by sinning in their what? Unbelief. Until they dropped dead in the desert. So God swore an oath that they would never enter into His common place of rest, all because they disobeyed Him. It is clear that they could not enter into their inheritance because they wrapped themselves, their hearts, in unbelief. They could not enter into God's inheritance because they wrapped their hearts in unbelief. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Do you know what that means? That literally means what you wrap your heart around is what you treasure in life. What you give your heart to, you wrap your heart around, is what you treasure in life. That's where your treasure is, where you've wrapped your heart. Some people's treasure is all wrapped up in their children. Some people's treasure is all wrapped up in their husband or their wife. Some people's treasure is all wrapped up in their job. You know why? It's because of the curse and the fall. Because their identity is in what they do and not who they are. My identity is not in the fact of what I do for my children. My identity is in the fact that I belong to the Lord Jesus. Amen. And He chose me to be a godly parent. Okay? Okay. Okay, we need to keep on going. We'll about wrap it up. Chapter 4. Now God has offered to us the same promise of entering into His realm of rest and confident faith. I'm talking to you about the realm of faith's rest. Faith will give you a rest. I'm talking to you about faith hyphen rest. No faith, no rest. Rest in God's faith, great rest. Amen. Now God has offered to us the same promise of entering into His realm of resting and confident faith. So we must be extremely careful to ensure that we all embrace the fullness of that promise and not fail to experience it. For we have heard the good news of deliverance just as they did, yet they didn't join their faith with the Word. Uppercase W, with God. They didn't connect their faith that it was God. You understand? Your faith has to wrap itself around something. They didn't connect their faith with the Word. This is an uppercase W. It's talking about God. They didn't. Same thing for us. Okay, y'all. Same thing for us. This Word is breathed on by God. When I take His Word, it is God. Do you make this Word equal to what comes out of God's mouth? This is what came out of God's mouth. Do you make this equal? Do you believe God's Word is God speaking? They heard God's instruction, but it wasn't mixed with faith. So they couldn't enter into the promises of God. They didn't attach their faith to God's Word and believe that it was God speaking to them personally about their life. There's a lot more there. Instead, what they heard didn't affect them deeply, for they doubted. When you hear God's Word, does it affect you deeply? Or is it just surface? Does it affect you deeply? Does it affect you deeply? Does it go deep inside of you when you hear God's Word? I'm not talking about just about, I'm talking about when you're along with God, does it affect you deeply? For those of us who believe, faith activates a promise and we experience a realm of confident rest. For those of us who believe, faith activates the promise. For those of us who believe, faith activates the promise. You know, you put yeast in bread to activate, has an agent in it to activate to cause it to rise. We're probably going to have to stop here because I believe that I'm losing some of you. Instead, what they did didn't affect them deeply, for they doubted. For those of us who believe, faith activates a promise and we experience a realm of confident rest. For He has said, I was grieved with them and made a solemn oath that they will never enter into the common rest of my spirit. Why? Because of their unbelief. Because of unbelief. Because they didn't take the words that came out of Moses' mouth as God Almighty was speaking to them. And when you read this Word, it is God Almighty speaking to you. But this Word will do us no good if we don't mix it with faith. What does that mean? That means I have to believe, God, it's You speaking to me. I have to believe, God, that it's You speaking into my life. That's what that means. And faith activates the promise. God's works have all been completed from the foundation of the world. For it says in the scripture, on the seventh day, God rested from all His works. God's already completed your life. God has already completed your life. You don't have to toil or sweat or stress over what you're supposed to do. God has already completed your life. You know what you need to do? You know what we have to do? We have to set ourselves in the position to hear. We have to set ourselves in the position to hear God. On the seventh day, God rested from all His works. And again, as stated before, they will never enter into my calming place of rest. Those who first heard the good news of deliverance failed to enter into that realm of faith's rest because of their unbelieving hearts. Yet the fact remains that we still have the opportunity to enter into this faith rest life and experience the fulfillment of the promise. For God still has ordained a day for us to enter into, and that is called today. For it was long afterwards that God repeated it in David's words, If only today you will listen to his voice and not harden your hearts. Now, if this promise of rest was fulfilled when Joshua brought the people into the land, God wouldn't have spoken later of another rest yet to come. So we conclude that there is still a full and complete rest waiting for believers to experience.
Hallelujah.
As we enter into God's faith rest life, as we enter into God's faith rest life, we cease from our own works. You don't have to work to make it happen.
That's right.
You don't have to help God out and work to make it happen. All we have to do is have faith that God is going to do what God said He promised us that He would do. So what does that mean? What's our part? We get the living word that is inside of us. Skip on over the verse 12. For we have the living word of God, which is full of energy. The living word of God, y'all, has an energy and a power on itself to fulfill itself. Mm-hmm. When it's activated by what?
Faith.
Are you getting this? God's word is a lot. God does not, that's why the scriptures say don't ever argue over the word of God. God does not need you to defend the word. God's word has the power on it to do what it's going to do, y'all. Y'all, God's word. Did the prophet prophesy that Jesus was going to come? Did it happen just like he said?
Yes.
God's word had a power on it to fulfill it. No one had to help it.
No
one had to help it. But in the fullness of time, Christ came. God's word, that's why we have to speak the word of life into our situation. Not the problem, but the word of life. God's word has an energy and a power in it to fulfill what it says. And the word of God has to be mixed with faith. Faith activates it. That means I believe it, so I speak it. And when I speak it, even if I don't see the immediate results, I keep on sowing the word of God and speaking it into the situation. I keep on speaking it and speaking it and speaking it. If a farmer plants a seed and doesn't get the harvest he wants, if he's a true farmer and got the gift to farm, what's he going to do next year? He's going to make it better and keep on planting it. He's going to learn from what didn't work and he's going to do what works. The word of God is just hearing the word of God is not enough. The faith is nigh you even in your mouth. And we keep on hearing this over and over again in this place. But we have got to get this. We have to speak the word of, by the stripes on Jesus' back, Laura is healed. Yes. Whatever that spirit of infirmity, she is loosed from that in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now.
Amen.
Those kidney stones that were in my brother's body, they have to be broken up in the name of Jesus and crushed and passed through his body without any pain.
Yes.
Why? Because he was wounded for my brother and Laura's transgressions. He was wounded for their iniquities. The chastisement for his peace was laid upon them and upon him, and by the stripes placed on his back, they were healed and delivered.
Already
But it has to be mixed with faith.
Yes.
Faith activates the promise and you come into the inheritance.
Yes.
That's why I keep on saying, and those of you who will say with me, building in storage that belongs to this body, come out of storage and come onto Rhyme 531 Rhyme Upon Road. I call you out of storage onto the property of 531 Rhyme Upon Road. You've sat in storage long enough. It's have a resurrection. Get out of that place and be resurrected and get on that property in the name of Jesus. If you say what you believe and you believe what you say, you shall have what you say. Now my Messiah and Savior said that. The same one that placed his blood on the mercy seat so I could be saved said that. If you believe in your heart and doubt not, you shall have what you say.
Yes, thank you, Father.
And you keep saying it till it comes.
That's right. That's right.
And when the guys brought the boats over, not only did Peter's boat sink, the other one, their boat still sank too because of so many fish. And if somebody would have brought another boat, that boat would have been filled up too, and it would have started sinking too.
Amen.
It had kept on until somebody didn't bring another boat.
So see, we're going to get on into this as we get on over.
Yeah.
There, as we get on continuing this blessing. God knows where the blessing is in your life. He knows where the fish are.
Yes.
God knows where the fish are. God wants to bless everyone in this body.
Yes.
God wants you to have more than enough to pay your bills, to have a place to live, a good place to live, to pay your bills, have a nice car to drive, and then have extra left over to bless somebody else. God wants to bless everyone in this house. He knows where the fish are.
Yes.
He knows where the catch is.
Yes. The scripture that Robert said, that faith without works is dead. Well, if you had the faith, what's the work? The work is speaking it out of your mouth.
Out of your mouth.
Yes. Faith, if you just kept sitting there and thinking about it, it will yet not do anything.
Hallelujah.
You've got to speak it out of your mouth.
I'm going
to
tell you.
The word.
And do not speak in frustration. I will tell you out of personal example without, and be discreet and not give you any details of it because it's to my embarrassment. But I spoke something out of frustration years and years ago, and it happened exactly like I said.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
No more. No more. Do not speak out of frustration. That's the work of the enemy. That is the work of the enemy to get you all frustrated and frustrated in the situation that you don't guard your mouth and you speak something like you're just like, okay, God, I'm just...
Just take a breath.
Yeah. Or you in your frustration, like, what my heart was really feeling at that time is that, you know, God, I thought I was fed up. I was just fed up. And what came out of my mouth, what I sowed with my mouth was exactly what I got. But I learned from it. See, there's a difference between ignorance and stupidity. Ignorance is that you don't know. Stupidity is that you know and you still do it.
Yes.
There's a difference. So I said it in my ignorance, but the next time I was not stupid.
Yes.
When I felt that first, I was like, no. And I was in another situation with the same individual, and I spoke it differently, and I spoke it differently, righteously, and I got it just like I said it.
Kathy, think about Moses.
I'm serious.
When God told Moses to, he didn't tell him to strike the rock so the water can flow. But because he was so
frustrated
with the people,
yes,
he struck the rock.
So you have power in your words. And your words are powerful.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
When you have that situation, mostly at work, you'll have situations like that. So when you feel like, okay, I feel sometimes that I have to tell them exactly like it is because I feel like my kindness is taken for
granted,
or you know, it's like they don't. And then if I speak up, they kind of come against me, and it feels kind of I'm like they don't feel good about me. I'm like backsided, like they don't want to deal with me, even though it has not. Well, just one person, but I feel like sometimes I have to tell them. You know, it's like taking advantage of me because of my kindness. But what is the best way to deal with a situation like that? It's like sometimes, you know, it feels like I want to say it like it is, but you can't because then you'd be like, they don't like to talk to you.
Well, with these same people, you have tried it with them, right? It's a repeat situation with them where you've tried to speak up and it keeps them. You tried like to give them advice or something? Is that what you're saying?
No, not advice. It's things that I do. And, you know, my kindness is taken for granted, and then they just they feel like if I speak up, they just want to talk back and bad and stuff
and
like that. You know, it's
work.
Like what do you say? You just I know what you said is stupidity and ignorance. And sometimes you know I feel like I'm gonna tell it like it is and say it. You know, say it, but. knowingly that if I say it, it's going to have repercussions, mm-hmm. like I'm just going to be, I don't know.
Well, there's a scripture that talks about don't cast your pearls before swine. Okay? People that don't appreciate what you have to offer or appreciate you. I would say to you, keep on being who you are. Keep on being the kind person you are, and God will recompense you. Now, if it gets to the point where it's something you need to go to your supervisor or something, that has come to that point where it's affecting your work or causing you to be looked at unfavorably in that position,
yeah,
then you, led by the wisdom of God, if you feel like you should go in and speak.
You think that you should speak out and you say how you feel or say something? Do you feel like we should?
Well, if you speak out and you say something, but it's not received, mm-hmm. then don't keep on casting your pearls before swine. Don't keep on trying to work with them over and over again and getting them to understand. We just have to pray that this something will break. Mm-hmm. Yes, please do.
Is this where people are adding rocks to your wheelbarrow? I mean, at work, you're doing your job, but they want you to assist and help them with something that they're supposed to do.
Oh, yeah, that happens a lot.
And that happened. Is it more of that, or that's not what we're talking about?
Yeah, it has a little bit to do with a little bit of that.
Then in the natural, too, is, I mean, just another way is when I am finished with my work, if I have a moment, I will be glad to help you with yours. You know, something like that. And other than that, I don't know if you have a prayer language, but I'm gonna tell you, I would go in quietly under my breath praying in tongues. I would pray in tongues all day long while I'm at work. And I'm gonna tell you, you'll see a difference just in that.
Amen.
And I know your personality is just to let people know how it is, but that, if it gets to the end of the day or the end of the week and it brings up what Kathy was talking about, it just brings you up into a frustration, seeing it's the enemy working to keep so that you'll stay and get in that frustration so that you'll speak out of your flesh instead of out of the true heart that who you are.
Yeah.
And then that adds to it. So as a believer, just out of my own experience, it's just praying all day long while you're working, and shield yourself with that prayer, and then we will be praying with you. And these people can't even, except for when they have to, they can't even come around you because there'll be a prayer wall and they can't even penetrate you. And that's how the attitude you've got to go in. Don't let people add their rocks to your wheelbarrow. Mm-hmm. Because it's a way that the enemy is trying to distract you in your work and keep you frustrated so that you'll speak stuff out of your mouth, and then it hinders and keeps blessings from you, and it causes unfavorability in there. And it's like, oh, hell no. I am on the offense now, and I'm keeping you on the defense, Lord. I'm a devil, because you don't know now what God's got in plan for me. It's like the football game we were watching yesterday, and Robert was reminding me the offense has got the plays. Defense doesn't know what offense is going to do. That's why you see the defensive line, they'll move back and forth because they're going with the offense, and they see the offense lining up another way, and one will tell the other on the defense, move over here, move over there. You keep the devil on the defense. He doesn't know what the hell you're doing. You stay in prayer, and it's well nothing. You speak the word of God out of your mouth.
Before you
and
go you, in
and I say that in love. I didn't mean that in cruelty to you. You know well nothing. You speak. You go home tonight and you start tonight getting words out of that Bible. And you speak it and you speak it and you speak in your prayer language. We're going to be praying with you. And I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be long. There's going to be a difference in that office place.
If they won't honor the kindness of the Lord in you, God will do some.
I don't really mind if they don't. I don't know. I don't even care if they don't. But what I'm saying is, like, if when I speak to them, even though I'm not enraged or anything, but I'm telling them the truth like it is, they don't take it. and they cannot cite me
because it's
the spirit of God.
I don't want to be recognized or anything. Mm-mm.
I don't even
want to go there. It's just the way that sometimes I like I told Jose, I want to tell them like this, and sometimes he says the way I say it maybe, or the words I use has a lot to do with it too. But even if I say it like it is without no rage or anything, people, because I speak up, they are just taking it over.
But speaking the word and prayer will change and affect all of that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It will.
It will
change. And I for one will be in prayer with you till we see it break. It will change.
Well,
it will change.
Go ahead, Carolyn.
What I was getting ready to say and piggyback on Robin and Carmen. When I get to a frustration, mm-hmm. I think about Jesus, and then I start praying, and I ask Holy Spirit to prepare their hearts and prepare mm-hmm. mine and prepare my mouth. Help me to speak it in the right tone, and because they hear it, but they hear it the wrong way. And once I'm able to speak it in the right tone, they're able to receive it the right way.
Yes.
But as long as I'm in this, I don't know, the fluttering, I call it.
Yeah.
They don't hear it and they don't see it. And no. I can only tell you that I pray a lot, especially when I'm speaking to my child, Sean mm-hmm. Kelly. And I have to pray and let Holy Spirit guide my words and guide my mouth, because Sean Kelly can make me frustrated. And I have to calm down, and I think about Moses, like I said earlier, that when God told Moses to speak to the rock,
mm-hmm.
instead of speaking to the rock, he hit the rock because he had gotten frustrated.
Yes.
And people can make you that way, and you want to
mm-hmm. yeah.
just like, boom!
Yeah. So you're saying pray before you speak.
Pray before you speak, and
Tammy.
Ask Holy Spirit to give you the right
sometimes
tone.
That's the work of the enemy.
The tone, mm-hmm. right tone. Mm-hmm.
Causing them to
okay, Tammy.
And to go off of what everybody has said, even doing all of that, even and doing all of that with praying before you go in, the way that you feel about this situation, know that God feels that way too. Because, and that God loves you so much that he does not want that to happen. He don't want you to be in that position. He don't want you to feel that way in your workplace. So, the praying, speaking and praying in tongues before you go, and as you're around in work, it will set the atmosphere for them to not even respond the wrong way.
That's right. Yeah. Yes.
It sets it all in
be
order.
Be proactive.
It sets yes. it all in
before
order.
Before you get there.
That's the
before
offense.
You get before you get
because
there.
Because God loves yes. you so much. That the very feelings that
yes.
you're feeling in your heart about that situation. You feel so strongly about it, you really can't even express mm-hmm. how you really feel to us. Mm-hmm. But that same feeling, God knows it. He understands it. And he doesn't like it either. He doesn't like it either. Mm-hmm. And when you're praying in tongues, God will give you, and right. you don't even, they don't have to know any of that. They don't have
no.
to know.
No, you pray under your breath.
They, and God will give you the way to say it when you go to say it, and the whole atmosphere will be set.
Yes.
And they won't yeah. be, they will not be able to come to you wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You a child of God.
That's right.
Christ lives in you. The
Amen.
Hope of glory. He lives in you.
And don't allow them to change who you are.
Yeah.
You're a kind person. Amen. Continue to be kind.
See, you're the high priest in that workplace. Amen. That's why the enemy's attacking
right.
that way. Because you're the high priest
mm-hmm.
in that area. You're the one with the word.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't want you to go any further with any of those co-workers and bring any blessings into that place. Wherever we, not the high priest, I'm sorry, we're the priest.
Priest, yeah.
Anyway. You're the priest. You are the priest in that place. Wherever our workplace is, in our homes, and wherever we are, we're the priest.
Amen.
You keep him on the deep light.
Amen.
Remember, always speak in love, because love conquers all.
Amen. And that is all of this is true. Mm-hmm. But there are times, you know, when Jesus said nothing.
That's right.
He left it up to God to vindicate him.
That's right.
He left it up to God.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something. You do what is right and walk right before God, God will reward you.
Amen.
I've seen it too many times in my life. God will remove the scoffers.
Yes.
God will remove the scoffers. He says to put the scoffer out and content. Oh, glory to God.
Yes.
He says to put the scoffer out and the contentions will cease.
Yes.
If there's contention in your workplace, ask God to remove the scoffer.
Yes. Ask the Lord.
To remove the scoffer.
Yeah.
Amen. So I'm going to speak a blessing over us, the blessing that I promised you today, and then we're going to close it out. Go to Philippians, because this is related right there. Philippians chapter 3, glory to God, talking about the purpose and the plans of God. Philippians chapter 3,
12-16.
Thank you, Denise. This is so beautiful. Okay, I'm going to say it, then I'm going to speak it. I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I'm pursuing. Oh, God. God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I am pursuing, but I run with passion into his abundance.
Yes.
So that I may reach the purpose that Jesus Christ has called me to fulfill and wants me to discover. I don't depend on my own strengths to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus. I forget all of the past. I forget all the past as I have fastened my heart to the future instead. I run straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus. So let all who are fully matured have this same passion. And if anyone is not yet gripped by these desires, God will reveal it to him. And let us all advance toward to reach this victory prize, following one path with one passion. And what is that? That I might know him in the fellowship of his suffering and the power of his resurrection. That I might really know him. So, Father, I speak this blessing over us and over the body of Christ. Father, we humble ourselves before you, and we admit, God, that we have not yet acquired the absolute fullness that we are pursuing. But we run with a passion into your abundance, so that we may reach the purpose that Jesus Christ has called us to fulfill and wants us to discover. We don't depend on our own strength to accomplish this. However, we do have one compelling focus. There is one focus. Forgetting all of the past as we fasten our heart to the future instead. We run straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus. So, Father, we want to be fully mature, and we want to have this passion. We want to be gripped by this desire. And show us areas in our life, God, where this desire does not grip us, Lord, because we want to be gripped by this desire, a passion to know you, Jesus. That we may all advance together to reach the victory prize, following one path with one passion. That we may know you, Jesus. That we may fully know you. And that we may know the life that you died and were resurrected for us to have. Amen.